Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
The Dallas Cowboys are really something. That's not how I thought I was going to lead this hour. We should be joined coming up in a few minutes by Bobby Carpenter, former Ohio State linebacker, does a talk show there locally, does a great job nationally on SiriusXM. You can listen to us, by the way, on SiriusXM, channel 375 across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, also on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube. But last night, we did see Ohio State win the national championship, a tremendous redemption story for Ryan Day. But the Cowboys, man, they just know how to steal the thunder. Now, nothing's official yet. And I thought that Kellen Moore was going to be their next head football coach because that's kind of a Jerry Jones puppet move. This would be the ultimate puppet move. So Sean Sharif, who does a great job locally on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, he interviews Jerry Jones each and every week. He tweeted out, and there's been a lot of momentum from Brian Schottenheimer to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. I don't know why. But according to Sean Sharif, he is hearing an offer could be coming soon for Brian Schottenheimer. That's really something. So last night we did see Ohio State win the national championship. I was there in Atlanta, and what a crazy game that was. In terms of, it looked like we were going to have a great game from the start. When Notre Dame goes on that methodical drive right down the field and takes off 10 minutes off the clock, then Ohio State quickly answers back. And the next thing you know, I think it was like 31-7. And the blowout was on, and then you got late into that game, and Notre Dame, they had a lot of fight to them. It was an 8-point game, but then that 3rd-and-11 play call was the right decision. I have no problem throwing in that spot. I was calling for it in the stands. I said, throw the ball here. Even if you don't get it, Notre Dame saw us to get a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion. And not only did they throw the ball, they aired it out deep down that right sideline. Jeremiah Smith, he caps off the Ohio State season, securing that catch, and they secure a national championship. But let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in Bobby Carpenter, who won a national championship at Ohio State. Now does a great job locally on 97.1 The Fan, and also you can hear him nationally on SiriusXM, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Bobby, did you get any sleep last night? I saw you were running around that field with James Laurinaitis celebrating a national championship.
Yeah, not as much as I would have liked. I do AM radio in Columbus, Ohio, starting at 6 on 97.1 The Fan. So I got up about 5:30, scraped it off after going to bed at probably 4:15, and was able to handle that. And then I got to deal with that at 11:30 flight, the beautiful, efficient Hartfield Airport, which I don't know if you flew out today. I mean,
I did.
I was there 2.5 hours before. I'm lucky I made my flight. I mean, my goodness. I'm not sure who handles the logistics for those folks, but I feel like we might be able to do a little better job.
So I got at the airport at 5 a.m, and I had TSA pre-check. And even then, like, it was only a 20-minute wait. But when I landed, and I landed by like 9 o'clock this morning here on the East Coast, I saw videos, hour and a half, 2 hour wait at TSA pre-check out the door. And I never thought, Bobby, that Atlanta would be cold. Jeez Louise, like 20 degrees is nothing to me here in New York. That was a different cold that I felt in Atlanta the last 24 hours I was there.
Yeah, because you're expecting it to be warm. The expectation that you didn't bring like all of your trappings for cold weather. I mean, I brought a coat. I'm like, all right, I'm leaving the hotel most of the time. I wore that son of a gun every time I went outside. I didn't bring a hat. I didn't bring gloves. Like, I didn't bring any of the other stuff that I really needed. And, man, you'd be downtown, and that wind would hit you in the face, and it felt terrible.
So Bobby Carpenter is here with us. When you look back at this Ohio State story, clearly it's the Ryan Day story. But from a player perspective, there's two iconic moments from this run. The decision to throw the ball and the catch by Smith down the right sideline to secure the national championship. And then in the round prior, the fourth down strip sack touchdown by Jack Sawyer. What to you is the defining play when you look back at this run, where if you have a championship DVD, that's going to be the first play that people think about?
I think the Sawyer play, but it's an interesting question because Jack made an unbelievable play against Michigan on a goal line stand and, you know, has an interception, runs it out to the 15, but like that is lost to the annals of history, to the sands of time, because you don't win the game. And so I think the more impactful play, the bigger game it almost felt like, was the Texas game and what Jack was able to do, strip sacking his former teammate Quinn Ewers, scooping him up himself, running all the way back. And a game that was a one-possession game on the one-yard line, it ends up being a two-score victory. That only gets told if you're able to win that final game. And so I think that that is the more impactful play, the one that people will remember. But it needed the Jeremiah Smith. It needed the Will Howard over the top 60 yards on 3rd and 11, you know, in the clutch, to be able to secure that victory so that that game, that play ultimately mattered and was remembered the way that it should be.
How about the game last night? Because, man, right before you joined us, I was saying Notre Dame comes out swinging to perfection and they take off 10 minutes off the clock. Then it looked like this was going to be Notre Dame, Alabama from years ago in the national championship with how dominant Ohio State was. But that ended up being a game late, and ultimately, like we're talking about, the aggressiveness by Chip Kelly and Ryan Day was on full display, and Howard found Jeremiah Smith for that big victory as obviously Ohio State's national champions.
Yeah, the Emeka Ibuka fumble kind of opened it back up for Notre Dame, and I give Marcus Freeman a lot of credit, man. He's a really good coach, former teammate of mine, and a really great guy, and you can tell how much his players care about him, how much they believe in him. They kept fighting. I mean, they were down, you know, 28-7, you know, talk about winning the middle eight. The Notre Dame scores, they have the ball for 10 minutes. But outside of that, they only possessed the ball for 18 minutes the rest of the game. So after that opening drive, I mean, they were behind the eight ball. Ohio State was controlling it. They were 9-12 on third down. They go score, three and out, score, three and out, end of half. Ohio State gets the ball, scores. And, you know, they're driving again. And, all, you know, the Emeka Ibuka fumble, I think, kind of opened it back up. Those guys believed in Marcus, and that allowed them to get back in the game. And I think it was a fitting ending, you know, for a coach that, you know, he talks about wanting to be more aggressive, leave no doubt, knock him out. You know, it's his mantra and that team's mantra moving forward. To be able to be stuck with a 3rd and 11, I mean, I'm like, I'd run it out. You know, let's run the deep comeback. We've been running it. It's effective. They can't stop it. You know what? And he said, hey, let's go for it. We've got the best receiver on the planet and a quarterback that, even though people don't think is very good, just set Ohio State completion percentage record and broke C.J. Stroud's, completed 13 straight. I mean, it looks pretty damn accurate to me, Zach. So that's the play that ultimately sets it up with a guy that, you know, people claimed couldn't get it done, throwing to a true freshman who might end up, you know, one day being a Gold Jacket member in Canton.
Bobby Carpenter here with us. I remember talking to you after Ohio State lost to Michigan, and you were still supportive of Ohio State keeping Ryan Day. Now 6-7 weeks later, they're national champions after blowing out Tennessee, just totally taking care of Oregon. The Texas game was close, but they won it. They win the national championship last night. I know that you like Ryan Day a lot, but what are you feeling today seeing the narrative really shift and go from down and out to now being on the top of the college football world that Ryan Day is?
It's a little bit of the era that we live in society, you know, where you're either the best or the worst. It's completely binary. Like, you can't have a measured opinion on anything where, hey, I think Ryan Day is a really great football coach. You're going to have a hell of a time replacing him with someone better. However, he needs to find a way to beat Michigan. Like, those two things can both be true. And he has an issue with that. It's something that's going to come up again next year, and I'm hoping that he's able to get that corrected. I think he learned a lot with this, but then you go and see an epic run. I mean, one of the most difficult runs you'll ever find, a four-game stretch. His Ohio State team beat five top five teams this year. You see the interaction with the players in him. And that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if you got a chance to see it at the end of the game. And I was on the field, so I didn't necessarily get a full view of it. I'm going to go back and rewatch the game. But, I mean, those guys picking him up and passing him around.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that he's Caesar, you know, crossing the Rubicon, marching in. Like, I mean, they had the palm leaves out and everything. So, like, that connectivity they had. And there's always going to be people that they live on Misery Island, man. They're the grievance boys. They're like, hey, does this national championship have an asterisk to it? You know, was it an unfinished national title? Because it doesn't have a Big Ten championship. It doesn't have a one over Michigan. I'm like, man, you guys go live in that disconnected reality. This was the best team in college football. I don't think there's any debating about it with who they beat, how they looked, and the manner of which they went. And if you want to keep talking about hot seats and Misery Island, like, nothing cools off a hot seat like a Gatorade bath. So let's just enjoy it. And let's realize that this guy's one hell of a football coach and a really great man as well.
You know what? It's so funny you say that, because one of my close friends attended and graduated from Ohio State, and we were getting into it this morning. And I'm not usually a Ryan Day defender, right? I've had my fun hand up at his expense, but I was defending him today. And it's like, the fact that I needed to defend him to Ohio State fan, but he said to me, Bobby Carpenter, am I super happy we won the college football playoff? Of course. Am I excited about the future? Absolutely. But the game has changed. The thought of Ohio State making the Rose Bowl pre-2014 with a loss to Michigan is laughable. How would Duke fans feel if John Shire never won a game against UNC until somehow won March Madness after 5 years? Happy but jaded. I'm like, I'm talking to an Ohio State fan. I couldn't believe that was a text that I was getting today from my buddy.
I mean, listen, man, like, go get a bowl of ice cream and just enjoy the day. Like, I mean, can we not have any nice things? And here's the thing with this, and I've talked to a lot of people about it. And listen, I'm from the state of Ohio. I grew up here. I went to Ohio State. I understand what it means. I have 3 pairs of gold pants. I've got 1 national championship ring. And I said on Get Up with Greeny, I was like, I would trade one of these gold pants, which would be like sacrilege, for another national championship, being the best in the country. And it's really not even a tough choice. But the game can still mean as much emotionally. And this is what we're worried about, Zach, with this 12-team playoff, that the regular season wouldn't matter as much. Well, hell, it looks like it still matters a hell of a lot to a lot of people. Like, emotionally, it matters. But the reality is the gravity of the game, of what it means with the respect of the entirety of a season, it's changed. And it honestly changed more than 10 years ago when you went to the divisions and you went to a Big Ten championship. It wasn't the last game anymore. And then all of a sudden, you have a 4-team playoff. And so you could maybe get in even without winning that and winning the Big Ten. And now, you're getting in without winning your conference and you go win a national championship. So yes, that game will mean a lot emotionally to a lot of people, me being one of them. But we also have to look at it. It is a little bit more of an NFL model now. And I mean, you'd rather have your team playing the very best the last 4 weeks of the season or 4 games of the season than maybe winning a rivalry game, no matter how painful that might be.
No one questioned the talent of this team, but you wonder if they could come together and do what they did last night. Looking back at it, do you think they needed to lose to Michigan to get the best out of this team? Because it did feel as if we just saw a different gear from that team once they did lose to Michigan and what we got to see in those 4 games in the college football playoff.
You know, people talk about leadership, and I get a chance, I'll do some speaking on it and developing culture and all these things. And they just, what is culture? Well, I don't want a bad culture, but I can't really define how to get a good one. Like, you just know it when you see it. And as much as the loss to Michigan, I think, was a huge part of it, I think the main part of that loss to Michigan was the criticism that Ryan Day had become publicly from outside of the Woody Hayes and really nationally, but locally, statewide, of how much people are leaning in on him. And those players love the guy, man. They absolutely love that man. And I think that there was a galvanization that happened where, like, listen, our coach isn't perfect. He came out, we had this players only meeting plus the head coach. And I think he was probably brutally honest about his shortcomings and some of the things that happened, and the players were talking about what they could do. And then you saw them all, like, get in line behind the guy. And to a man, after every game, you heard those guys defend their coach. And I think that the loss to Michigan maybe revealed that, but even more so, it was the level of public criticism that he was receiving that I think got everybody behind him. And it was as much, let's win it for each other as let's win it for him.
Yeah, I'll let you run in a few seconds. Bobby Carpenter here with us the day after Ohio State wins the national championship. You said about my observations being on the field last night as the game was ending. Like, usually, right, you're a player, you win a game like that, you win a national championship, you're running to another player. I thought it speaks volumes how not only just any player, but your big-time players were running over to Ryan Day and going out of their way to basically say the monkey's off his back. You know, coach, you did it. Because sometimes you could have a player's coach and that player's coach could be a doormat. It's cool to see a player's coach that also has the respect of his players, and they kind of gave, you know, the rest of the college football world the middle finger last night.
I think it's a very accurate assessment of it. You know, those guys leaned in. I won a national championship, and, you know, we hugged Tress, but it wasn't like that. I mean, Urban won one. I was there for that. My brother was on the staff. There was none of that going on, at least especially not to that degree. And so to see that with Ryan and how passionate it was, and it almost was a little bit, and Zach, you're old enough to remember this. I don't know if you remember the Niners Super Bowl that they won in 94, where Steve Young was like kicking the monkey off his back and like his teammates are going over. And it's a guy that you knew was great. And you were just waiting for him to get that validation publicly so that everybody else could finally accept his greatness as well. And I was like, man, that just kind of what it reminded me of, because he was following Urban and how he's just not Urban Meyer. I'm like, that's fine. That he's not Urban. And you don't want him to try to be Urban, because that's not who he is. And so it felt like that proverbial monkey was lifted, and those guys were just trying to lift him up as much as possible.
Now, could we just get real serious here for a second? You win a national championship, and we can't even get someone to drive a golf cart properly? That video last night.
I mean, here's
that crazy.
How many times, and I'm not a huge golfer, I probably golf 10 times a year, maybe 12. The amount of times I ride in a golf cart with my one leg hanging out the side. I mean, Ryan, can you talk about celebration to getting a foot amputation or crushing your foot against that wall? I mean, my goodness. And then the best part, she just got up and walked off. Like, hey, we just ditched this car. Like, all right, we're out of here. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, that was unbelievable. It was Austin Powers at its finest.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe that when I saw it this morning. Before we let you run, I got to squeeze in one NFL point. Nothing's official, but I know you got drafted and you played for the Cowboys. They got rid of McCarthy. We know that. We'll see where he lands. A lot of people like me thought it was going to be Kellen Moore, and now there's been a big push for Brian Schottenheimer, and it's feeling today that that's the expectation of what's going to happen in Dallas. I don't really see going from McCarthy to Schottenheimer how the Cowboys get better. It feels as if this is a kind of another Jerry Jones puppet master type of move. What would your reaction be if Shoddy got the job?
You know, I like Brian personally. I mean, he's a great guy. I've never played for him, but I've gotten to know him socially. And I know my dad always loved his dad, Marty, and, you know, what he was about. And I think this is kind of middling it. You know, he hired Jason Garrett before. He wanted a coach with experience the next time. So he didn't want to quite the learning curve. So that's why he goes with Mike McCarthy, who'd won a Super Bowl. And maybe he's not the great innovator, but he's, you know, a leader and he's experienced. Well, you know, that obviously he gave you good, but he didn't give you great. Kellen Moore is a really young coach. And I think Kellen Moore will make a really nice head coach one day, but there's still some seasoning that probably needs to happen. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Jerry Jones is seasoned out. He's 82 years old. For all intents and purposes, Zach, this is probably his hope. I think he's probably the last head coaching hire he makes. You know, if you're hiring another coach, you know, in 3 years, that's not a great thing. And those sands are dripping out of the hourglass for Jared. He wants to win a Super Bowl more than anything. And I think Brian Schottenheimer is kind of middling it a little bit. Yeah, he's never been, you know, a head coach before, but he's grown up around the NFL. I mean, he's been in it. I mean, he was one of the hot head coaching candidates when I was coming out back in 2006. Been around the league. He's got tons of contacts. He can build a great staff. He's got that pedigree with his father. And so maybe this is that attempt to kind of get a guy who, you know, it's a first-time head coach, but it's a guy who's been around a ton and understands the game and will hopefully be able to shepherd that team back to where they need to be. But, I mean, to be honest, they've got cap issues. They've got some personnel issues. They've got more issues than just the head coach, that's for sure.
There's no question about that. He is Bobby Carpenter, host of 97.1, The Fan in Columbus. Does great job, SiriusXM Radio as well. And is a former Ohio State Buckeye as a linebacker, won a national championship, and I know he's in a good mood today. Bobby, really appreciate you carving out some time on the limited sleep.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime.
There you go. Bobby Carpenter joining us. Always love when we get to connect with him. Really good stuff there on Ryan Day, Ohio State, and then at the end with the Dallas Cowboys. We'll take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. So, this Brian Schottenheimer stuff, I get it, but I don't. So, nothing's official yet, but there was talks of Brian Schottenheimer at first being the Cowboys' next head coach, and he's currently their offensive coordinator. And, you know, he's been in the organization since 2022. And, you know, when he's come to Dallas. But he's been around a long time. You know, he started off his coaching career as an assistant in St. Louis, Kansas City, then went to college for a little bit. Was in D.C. with the Chargers, obviously. The Jets was their offensive coordinator. Then the Rams offensive coordinator, went back to college with Georgia, Indianapolis, quarterback coach, Seattle offensive coordinator, Jaguars passing game coordinator, 2022 coaching analyst with the Cowboys, last 2 years their offensive coordinator, but it was really Mike McCarthy. Like, let's just be real. So when I heard Schottenheimer, I said, if that's a puppet type of move, wouldn't you just hire Kellen Moore? Who, let me be clear, I don't think Kellen Moore should be the next head football coach of the Cowboys. If that's the case, I would have just kept Mike McCarthy. But Jerry Jones didn't want to extend Mike McCarthy to the level that Mike McCarthy wanted to get a respectable contract, right? He's a Super Bowl winning coach, 12 wins, 12 wins, 12 wins. I know they missed the playoffs this year in Dallas, but he thought to himself, McCarthy, that I go get another job. I know it's not Chicago because now it's Ben Johnson, but either Chicago or the Saints, and I'll get a 4 or 5 year contract. And I guess McCarthy also said to himself, even if I don't get a job, I'm good not having the drama with Jerry Jones, and I'm content not coaching again and potentially getting shut out of this cycle. But you have 5 jobs left. This morning at 7:44 when I was on the plane and getting ready to land back in New York City, I said, let's predict the 5 remaining jobs. Cowboys, Kellen Moore as Jerry Jones' next puppet. That's what I wrote. And then I'll give you the other 4 in just a second. But as we sit here today, it seems as if not only there were whispers and there were thought of Brian Schottenheimer being the next coach, it feels like it's a foregone conclusion now. Like, do you feel that way as well, Stu? Because everything I'm seeing today on my social media feed, and once again, hey, the things I see on my Twitter, let's be real, not always factual these days. But it seems as if Brian Schottenheimer is going to be the next head football coach of the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. And that, I want to say it's surreal, but then, Stu, this is a last name that Jerry Jones obviously knows. And right, there's respect in the football world if you have the last name Schottenheimer. But Brian Schottenheimer has never been a coach. And it feels as if this is another guy that Jerry Jones can just control. And they clearly don't think that Kellen Moore is ready yet to be the head coach if you hire Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, I kind of agree on all that. It does feel like it's going to be Schottenheimer at this stage. And I don't know. It just feels like a weird one. Just kind of like one of those out of nowhere. And I understand, like, I guess you're kind of promoting from within in a sense, but it's someone that's been with the organization, but I don't know. It's
so is Kellen
weird.
Moore. I know he hasn't recently been there, but it's not like it's a crazy time ago. It was 2022, which Schottenheimer replaced Moore because they wanted McCarthy basically to run the, or McCarthy wanted to basically run the offense. That's all. How backwards is that? Moore out as the offensive coordinator. Schottenheimer in. Really McCarthy there as the coach. All right, you're not agreeing to bring back McCarthy, where I think Jerry Jones wanted to bring him back, but it was on his terms, like, oh, we'll only give you a slap in the face, 1 or 2 year extension. And Mike said no. So it wasn't as if they were furious with Mike, but they didn't do everything in their power to keep him. So then you're interested in Kellen Moore, who I think has always been overrated as a head coaching prospect. But now it feels as if you're going with Brian Schottenheimer, who replaced Moore and was brought in basically to not have as much power as Moore did because you wanted to give more power to Mike McCarthy, who you decided not to give a new contract extension to. How about them Cowboys? That's all I got to say. You know, I normally on 2.5 hours of sleep today, but I don't even understand what I'm trying to say. I need some Advil. I have a headache. This is what happens when your organization is operated off drama and you have a man in Jerry Jones who the thing that he has on his priority list, the two top things, are drama and power. That's what it is. Drama and power for Jerry Jones. This will be a hire that will elicit enough drama. It's going to be a reaction where people are going to be freaking out, losing their minds, and not in a good way. And people are going to be laughing at the Cowboys, right? The Cowboys are going to be a big-time joke if this is the hire. And then also, it just reiterates, which it's weird that the owner needs to show his power. But this is, you know what? I would just respect Jerry Jones more. And I don't think he could do this, let's be real, with the state that he's in. But I would respect Jerry Jones more at the age of 82 if he just said, I'm not hiring a coach. I'm going to be the GM, I'm going to be the owner, and I'm going to be the head football coach. Right? Jerry, coach the damn team. If you're hiring Brian Schottenheimer, if that's your hire, just coach the damn team. It would check off drama, and it would check off power. And that's all Jerry Jones cares about. Drama and power. Drama and power. Drama and power. What a joke this is. Seriously. If this is the hire of Brian Schottenheimer, and I wouldn't have been thrilled if it was Kellen Moore. But at least Kellen Moore, right? He's 36. Right? Maybe there's more upside here. Brian Schottenheimer is just such a blah hire. Like nobody else in this cycle would hire Brian Schottenheimer as their head coach except the Cowboys. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but that's the way that it's seeming to go down. So I guess my prediction this morning, I will change that from Cowboys with Kellen Moore to Brian Schottenheimer. Now, the rest of the jobs. So we know Ben Johnson's with the Bears. We know Mike Vrabel's with the Patriots. Saints, I'm going to say Mike McCarthy gets a job. Now, I'm not fully confident in that one, but if McCarthy was willing to walk away from Dallas and maybe he thought he would just be able to hitch his wagon to the Bears because at the time, right, it was believed that, yeah, the Bears we all knew were interested and wanted Ben Johnson, but it didn't feel as if Ben Johnson wanted them. Now Ben Johnson is their head coach. So you had to have a backup plan. I don't think McCarthy left the Cowboys saying, I only am going to go to the Bears. So I think it's the Bears and the Saints are the first two jobs that were mentioned for McCarthy. I'll say the Saints now end up getting Mike McCarthy. I do believe also what factors into that. I think the Saints wanted Aaron Glenn. But Aaron Glenn has been meeting with the Jets today. And I saw Rapoport said this morning their plan is to not let him leave the building without giving him a chance to become the next head coach. We know Aaron Glenn was involved in the front office there in the past, has played there right in the past. So the Jets, you could say, are home for him. And you look at Aaron Glenn, that's someone where, if I'm a Jet fan, I'm going to be quite honest, Aaron Glenn is deserving of a head coaching job. I don't know how excited I am because similarities, like a few years ago, we talked about Robert Saleh, defensive-minded coach, great energy, great leader of men. We're going to say the same damn things about Aaron Glenn, right, if you're a Jet fan, which I'm not. But him being one of your own, maybe it changes it. He's a player there from 94 to 2001. I would have liked a little, and a personnel scout from 2012 to 2013. Now, he also coached with the Saints as well. But I would have liked to have seen the Jets get a little bit more of an experience name. But, you know, in terms of someone that's been a head coach before. But that's not going to be the case. So I'll say Aaron Glenn to the Jets. I'll say McCarthy to the Saints. The Cowboys now are going with shoddy Brian Schottenheimer, PU. And then that leaves us with the Jaguars and the Raiders. You know what's weird, Stu? Robert Saleh? He's got a second interview with the Jaguars. I know he's coached there before. Shad Khan, you got to be kicking yourself today. And I joke earlier, what photos does the GM of the Colts, Chris Ballard, have of Jim Irsay? What photos does Trent Baalke have of Shad Khan? You could have had Ben Johnson. I don't know if Ben Johnson's going to be Lombardi or Belichick. Right, I don't know how great Ben Johnson's going to be, but he's one of the names. You had a chance to go to prom with one of the hottest girls right in your class. That's what you had a chance to do. And instead, you weren't over your previous relationship and you missed the boat. Right? Like, you needed to make Trent Baalke a previous relationship. Instead, you kept him around when someone else a lot better was trying to get a part and be a part of your organization. And that's why I think ultimately Ben Johnson said, I'm not going to the Jaguars because, right, alignment, I don't view eye to eye with Trent Baalke. Ryan Poles, you know what? It may not be perfect either, but you could argue you maybe want to rather go with Caleb Williams right now, right? And that's the big sell for Chicago. And the Raiders, they could have given you all the power, but they don't have a quarterback. So a lot more wear and tear on Trevor Lawrence. So I could see it being Robert Saleh. I'm going to hope for the Jaguars' sake, though, it's Liam Cohen. Like, just go young offensive mind if that's the case. Saleh just had all this talent with the Jets. You know, maybe out of the Big Apple of New York and being out of that spotlight, he could be a better coach. But, geez, he was a pretty rotten coach with the Jets. And then, finally, the Raiders. I still think it's, Stu, I think it's going to be your guy, Pete Carroll. I think it's going to be Pete Carroll, Brian Flores, and I still don't believe that Brian Flores is getting a job. But it seems as if Brady wants a big name. He tried for Ben Johnson. Admirable effort. Now I think you bring in Pete Carroll and just get some consistency in the organization. I don't know if the Raiders will be any good with Pete Carroll, but at least you have a respectable coach, and maybe he can lay a foundation in these 3 years where whenever he does walk away and hangs them up, the next guy that takes it over finds the Raiders in a much better spot than what they're currently in now, which is just an absolute bleep show.
Yeah, it makes sense. They could do far worse, and you said stability. That's the key word. They just need someone that can just, you know, get it started. Yeah. And they got to draft a quarterback at some point, and they got to build a better team. But I think having a guy like Carroll as the coach who has the experience would at least help that, at least help start that.
And look at the division right now. Like, the Chargers and the Broncos, they have stability with their head coach. Jim Harbaugh, phenomenal. Sean Payton, really great coach, right? And the quarterbacks, right? Like, Bo Nix had a good freshman year. Bo Nix hasn't been a freshman in like 20 years. He had a good rookie season with the Broncos. But am I ready to say that Bo Nix is going to be a superstar in this league? No. So there's still some questions with him. Justin Herbert, right? He's got to go win a playoff game, right? He's a good quarterback, but he just had 4 interceptions. But at least there's stability, and there's a feeling of, okay, Harbaugh and Sean Payton, if they can't get it right with the Chargers and the Broncos, then who will, right? You don't feel good then if they can't get it right. But you feel stable with those guys. You have some trust and some confidence. Andy Reid, the next time we'll really have a question about the Chiefs is this BS vulnerable stuff that we do every year, but really when Andy Reid walks away. Like, just who's going to be the next guy? But you still have the great quarterback in Mahomes. So there's not a lot of questions, legitimate questions in that division, and that's why you bring in Pete Carroll to try to tie up all the loose ends and just get you to be at least a product that you look at when they're on the shelf and you go, okay, I'm at least interested in it. Not right now where it's like, yeah, I don't care if you say, give me this product for free. I'm not interested in your crap, right? I don't think I could turn your garbage into gold. Pete Carroll just needs to make them look presentable. So that's what I'll go with right now. Saints McCarthy, Jets Aaron Glenn, Jaguars, I could see it being Robert Saleh, but I'll go Liam Cohen. Raiders, Pete Carroll, and then the Cowboys, I guess Brian Schottenheimer, because that's been the flavor of the day so far. Pretty rotten flavor, if you ask me. And how about Bobby Carpenter? I thought that was a good point. You're trying to find the middle ground, right? Like, you like McCarthy, but that didn't work to what you thought it was going to be. You like Jason Garrett, and he didn't have the experience of being a head coach before. So you go with a guy that has some experience but never being a head coach, right? Schottenheimer's more than more, and it's still someone that you could control. Like, yeah, if you did a Venn diagram of Mike McCarthy and then also with Jason Garrett, if you're looking at a first-time head coach, like, yeah, that's probably Schottenheimer. You're going to make the playoffs for a few years, but you're not going to go to an NFC Championship game. You're not going to go to a Super Bowl. So it's a very uninspiring hire if that's the case in Dallas. But nothing official yet. Just we did see that Sean Sharif said that he is hearing that the Cowboys are preparing to offer the head coaching job to Brian Schottenheimer. Hearing an offer could be coming soon for Brian Schottenheimer. That is from Sean Sharif of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Update time. Here's Zach.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam. I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.